Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our Wand of Lulu in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft, or Song Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturdays, split between Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wild, and a new show, which I don't have a title of yet, with Bobby and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. That would be Monday mornings through Saturday mornings. Join Victoria tonight as she brings you the hearts of LNP. Tuesdays, take a walk on the wild side. Fridays are split between Crawling into the Darkness with Pam and Break on Through. And Saturday, Feliciana and Babila, as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows, call them to read your poems, and hang for the fun. And good evening, Pam, or is it Jean, or is it both?
It's both.
You get two for the price of one tonight.
That's right, it's a twofer.
Ah, there it is. Exploring Ekphrasis with Bobby and Dan.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
I knew that was in there somewhere. I'd forgotten the word.
That's okay, because spelling is one thing, but me pronouncing it's always a disaster.
you know, it's all Greek to you.
That's right. Tell him, Rex.
I know, that was a terrible pun.
Well, you know. I like puns once in a while, though. I'm a very punny girl. You know.
Ooh, double the fun on that one.
Yep, yep. Yep, yep. Well, maybe I'll just sit here.
Well, we have a split show today. We've got a few leftovers from last week's Ian McDonald show with King Crimson and Foreigner. Plus, we're doing Mark Lanegan from the Screaming Trees, Queens of the Stone Age, and Gutter Twins, who recently passed last month as well. So, seems we're all getting up in age when those musicians we've been listening to for all these years are going by the dozen, unfortunately.
Speak for your damn self. Don't say I'm old. Pam, I think he's trying to say we're old.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Mark Lanegan, he wasn't even that old. He died at, like, what,
57.
57. Okay, well, that's still not that old.
The kid. Just a kid.
Well, yeah. True.
He's younger than me.
But, yeah, it does make you feel old when the people you listen to all of a sudden start passing away. But I'm going
Are
to
you,
be stubborn and just refuse to admit that I'm old.
I mean, are you guys kidding? I started feeling old when all the things I used to listen to came out in commercials. That was when it
oh, there you go.
I was sitting there one day and I was in this commercial.
You can always play vampire and cover up all the mirrors.
Oh, my God. It's starting. I ain't afraid of that.
I like that cover up all the mirror vampire idea. But, you know, you're right, Jean. Yeah, absolutely. I remember my brother-in-law saying once, you know you're getting old when all your favorites are being played on the classic rock station.
There you go.
Well, yeah, they've been doing that for years, though.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. That was
the funny thing is, those classic rock stations are holding their own. And that's a whole new
definitely.
Generation of young people digging into that music now and finding out, damn, what have I missed in not listening to this stuff?
Oh, yeah, okay. Like my oldest, she absolutely just loves Jimi Hendrix. You know, she just, a lot of that real classic rock, she digs and gets into. So, yeah, you're right. There is a new generation discovering it.
Hey, all you got to do is go to YouTube. You find about 5,000 of them. Different people on different channels checking out everything from the 60s and the 70s, even into the 80s.
Yeah, how true. So it's crazy stuff, but I'm not getting old. I don't know what you're talking about.
Denial.
You think they just call me what's her name for no reason? What's her name? Yeah, my brain is just frozen on me.
That's usually the first sign of getting old when the brain starts going.
Yeah, huh? You better hope I don't meet up with you in a dark alley, mister. Cleopatra. You don't think they call me Cleopatra for nothing? Because I live on denial.
You know, for some reason, I picture Eugene as being like a granny from the Beverly Hillbillies as an old woman. Like,
what was her name? Her name was... She had an outrageous name, too.
She did.
Like Hibiscus or something.
I don't know. Jeremy seems to be
something different.
Old.
And she wasn't even that old. No, Ellie Mae was the granddaughter there, Jeremy, but great guess.
Well, you know where his mind's at. He's
right?
focused
well,
on
and,
Ellie
and
Mae.
Did you notice that since he mentioned Ellie Mae, his flag got a little higher?
And then he moved on to Daisy Dukes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a whole different, generation. Whole different generation. I'm not finding your answer here. I'm looking now.
My answer for what?
Who is the actress who played the granny? Or
the real actress's name was Irene Ryan. That I got.
That's it.
Oh.
But I think Rex was talking
about. I was thinking of somebody else.
I thought you were talking about what her real name was on the show. You know what I mean? Granny's full name is Daisy Mae Moses.
Daisy
Mae Moses. See? I'm slow, but I'll get there eventually. Yep. So that was Granny's name. I can close out all those darn tabs. Okay, I'm done there. So anyway, I don't know. Well, Rex, whenever you're ready, you just let me know, and I'll be happy to start this program off. In the meantime,
The first ones from last week are all up top separated. So we can start with them and get them out of the way.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to give you this one. And whenever you're ready, Rex.
As soon as my phone decides. Hey, where are you? A Late Night Dance with Nature by Himanshu Singla. My terrace was my dance floor. In expectancy of some divine fun, I was knocking at the nature's door. The moon was smiling and the stars were shining bright. These natural wonders became my disco lights. The fireflies were singing, defeating the kingdom of silence. They acted as my DJ in making me tap dance. The natural fog was more delirious than the artificial fog in the disco. It was divine and magnificent to enjoy the nature's show. My dancing partner was electric and lunatic air. Just like her, I was also moving, grooving with flair. But it was the disco without deafening noise. It provided me relief from the sufferings and the noise. But it was a disco without large crowds getting out of control. I got to spend some time with myself and my soul in poem. And that went with I Talk to the Wind. All right, Pam, why don't you start us off?
I think this is just absolutely delightful. I love that it celebrates the music of nature. You know, I'm always one of those people that likes to think about the first of so many different things, like the first discovery of fire, the first, discovery of, you eat certain berries or whatever, or who decided, that, let's let milk grow old and it becomes cheese. And for music, what I feel like, and I could just always imagine, is our, the ancient man sitting around at nighttime listening to the sounds of nature, or even the daytime, and thinking, well, if only I could recreate that. And I like that this poem takes us back to simpler times, to enjoying not only nature, but the nature that comes out at night. I really liked the natural fog was more delirious than the artificial fog in the nature. But it was a disco without deafening noise. I like that he compares it to the fun and the energy of a disco, but reminds us that it doesn't have the stress, the deafening noise. It's all about and about finding oneself and connecting with nature and the music that nature provides. So just beautifully written and very well done.
I think you just took everything out of the mouths of both me and Gene. So we should move on to the next one. Gene, what do you think?
Well, you know, I kind of like what she said, too. You know, I like this piece very much, and I thought it was a unique way to handle it. I thought it was a great take on the prompt, and I really liked the direction that she took it, or he took it. Sorry, I'm not exactly sure. And then, you know, the last two lines I thought tied it up very nicely based on the prompt. You know, but it was disco without large crowds getting out of control. I got to spend some time with myself and my soul. You know, it was like finding that place where you can actually sit and think about yourself and where you're headed and, you know, where life's taking you and all those wonderful things that go with it, you know. And I just really thought it was nicely done. So great work, Himanshu.
It was. It was very different. And you're right, those last two lines do make the difference because they offer that thought up to rejuvenation because there isn't anything but you in the moment and nature itself, the wind whistling, the fog dropping little bits of dew on you maybe, and the thought of actually seeing the fireflies as those little dance floor lights floating around. And just dancing with pure joy in the moment because there are some things that cannot be truly taken away from you in the moment. And one of those is late at night in nature when there's everything else is asleep, but the sounds that make up nature itself, maybe the little train whistle you hear in the distance, but the crickets, the tree frogs, an owl, or whatever else that kind of hits in the moment. It was nicely done. I like that.
Yeah. Good stuff, dear
All right.
man. Good
We're
stuff.
Coming back your way.
Okie dokie. We did it my way. Sorry, wrong show. Anyway, I'm going to put this one up by Martha Gettle. And I have a sound clip for that. So let me find it. There it is. Here we go. Or not. Yes. Freezing by Martha Gettle. Baby, your love burned like fire as I went up in the flames of desire. Your touch kindled in my heart's flame, and I will never again be the same. My heart warmed in the heat of your love, and I had all I could ever dream of. I basked in love's brightly burning flame as my heart quickened to the sound of your name. Baby, your fire warmed my very soul, but now that fire has turned so very cold, and I can feel it when you touch my skin. You don't burn for me like you did then. Coldness is seeping deep into my heart. The heat of your love used to be a part of me, baby, but now it's true. I shiver in the cold coming from you. Baby, your fire warmed my very soul, but now that fire has turned so very cold, and I can feel it when you touch my skin. You don't burn for me like you did then. You brought me fire and you brought me ice. You warmed all the cold parts of my life. But now all I get from you is an endless cold. You're freezing me to the depths of my soul.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam. This one was to Cold as Ice by Foreigner.
Oh, cool. Cool, yeah. I kind of figured that, and I thought she did a great job with this. Wonderful chorus, great rhyme and flow. Baby, your fire warmed my very soul, but now that fire has turned so very cold, and I can feel it's when you touch my skin. You don't burn for me like you did then. I like that she says, I can feel it when you touch my skin, as if there's this kind of idea that, you know, the intimacy has become more of, you know, a matter of, you know, well, I guess, you know, if I have to, like, they feel obligated to be intimate, but they don't feel the joy that it once brought. And I, you know, I thought this was a wonderful song on the whole idea of how, you know, love can start out burning hot and then quickly become cold. I also really like the line, I basked in love's brightly burning flame as my heart quickened to the sound of your name. So I really, I get the idea that this is kind of a mutual thing with the, you know, like two people who, you know, sometimes those flames that burn too bright go out really fast. And just another wonderful song by Martha, and very well done.
Okay, thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? You got to unmute first.
This is smart, Alex. What are you, watching me? I really was on mute. I didn't think I was that slow either. Okay.
Hey, just be like everybody else. Say it like it is. You're a smart ass, damn it.
I'm getting there. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I just laugh because I laugh at myself because I get caught every time. Well, not every time, but a lot of the time. But I thought it was, you know, a great take on that chosen prompt. And I thought she did a nice job penning to it. It was clever. And, you know, it's funny because when I was reading it, I was kind of getting, not that she intended it, but, you know, I was imagining Mr. Freeze. You know who Mr. Freeze is from the comics? And
yep.
How he touches things and turns to ice, and then you see the cracks running up the ice. Somehow that's just what I got from it, you know. I don't know why my head went that way, but I couldn't help it. It's just
you remember Batman, Arnold Schwarzenegger doing Mr. Freeze in Batman.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And everything he touched just iced over. You know, so that's what I get from that. And I thought it was just a clever piece. It's a nice job, Martha. Thank you very much.
It was. It was a nice complimentary piece to the original song. Because that one was, it's just about the purity of cold as ice. And but the first couple of stanzas brought in the heat to start it. Then it kind of waned in that third stanza. And then the fourth one opened up, cold is just seeping deep into my heart. The heat of your love used to be a part from me, baby, but now it's true. I shiver in the cold coming from you. That might be where the Mr. Freeze entered the picture for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that the back end hit the same thing, especially the last two lines. But now all I get from you is an endless cold. You're freezing me to the depths of my soul. Yes. Frozen to the touch.
Absolutely.
All right, but coming back to you, Wayne.
Okay. Well, since we're going to work on the older ones from last week first, I'm going to put this piece up for myself by Simon Guest, and it's called Coup. I'm going to make it big enough that I can read it without making a fool of myself. Okay. Flying high, smiles and laughter, smiggling and giggling. Fragrant smoke expands, new age rock blares out. Botanical peace reigns, for just a moment anyway. A flash of silver, cold hard steel, diving down, brutal savagery ensues. Up, down, left, right, cut, tear, slice, life fades away. Showered in darkness, silent, long live the coup. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got for this?
See, well, I thought it was a strong brevity. I probably didn't give it, I said it was a strong brevity 3 years ago. You know, what I really liked about this is the imagery where it says, new age rock blares out, botanical peace reigns for just a moment anyway, the flash of steel, cold silver, cold hard steel, diving down Brutal Savagery into, when, you know, what I feel like is that it reminds us of how quickly a moment of peace, like where we think life is all grand, all peaceful, all hunky-dory, can just be torn apart. And I like how he has that after it's showered in darkness, life fades away, showered in darkness, silence, long live the coup. To me, it just really spoke on the idea of how people who want power will grab it at the cost of destroying humanity, of destroying the world. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I think that this was a great piece by Simon. I did not hear this prior, and I thought that was interesting. But then again, I don't hear everything, that's for sure. But I thought it was nicely done. And, you know, considering the times that we've all been through, you know, between our last commander-in-chief and what's going on now over in, well, that other place, you know, it had a call to arms in my head, you know. It's an interesting way to think about it, but it, to me, that really, it's a fitting time to pull that back out. And the thought, and it says dark, death, horror, and politics in his descriptions. And, yeah, I think it was a good time for us to have a reread. And, yeah, I think that Simon did a great job. Yep.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Jean. Yeah, this I forgot about this. That's been 3 years. Wow. There's a couple of lines in here that kind of hit on real nice notes. New Age rock blares out, botanical peace reigns. For just a moment, anyway. And then in that middle of the second stanza, brutal savagery ensues. Up, down, left, right, care, touch, slot, care. Cut, tear, slice, and life fades away, shout in darkness. Yeah, it does seem that this is quite apparent now, 3 years later, with all the crap that's flying around. But I did like it back then. I enjoy it now. So thank you very much, Simon.
Absolutely. Now for my next magic trick.
I have pull a rabbit out of your head. Ah, ooh, not that one.
That's it. Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. That's about where we are. Okay, Miss Pam, you ready? Here we go.
Ready as I'll ever be. All right. The November song, Lean, Clean, and Bluesy, by Self-Rising Mojo. And it goes like this. Certainly anyone who thinks, even for a moment, must know by now, it is not enough to merely survive. This impossible to believe what we see and hear, this trump card drawn like a cartoon bully on all that is decent and normal, this diagnosis of some terrible disease, a lump like a cancer that must be removed or at very least have its power reduced to a locked door paranoid burger sack of arrested maturity, exposed and benign, voted down to his true colors of no coincidence, orange runs in yellow and red, and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, we get to you first this time.
Well, I think this is a very good piece. I really do. The imagery in it is wonderful. And it has a lot of, you know, I like the cartoon bully, though. See? That's Natasha and Boris. That's who that is. But I thought it was just really well done. And, you know, where is it here? On all that is decent and normal, this diagnosis of some terrible disease, a lump like a cancer that must be removed or at very least have its power reduced. Well stated there. And I have to say, I kind of got a chuckle, and I hope you meant for me to get one. Colors of no coincidence, orange runs in yellow and red. And I'm going to leave it at that. But I think it was just an excellent piece, and thanks for sharing that with us, Self-Rising Mojo. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was clever. Great wordplay. I really like how Self-Rising Mojo has his own style where he just kind of has almost like a flow of consciousness, but an organized flow of consciousness. I like how, this poem makes you think, and it does make you laugh a bit with some of the chuckle of the wordplay, that ending I thought was really cool, and the reference to the burger sack of arrested maturity. I like how he's straightforward without being straightforward. If that makes sense. And so, very well done.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It is funny how things have turned from back then to now. Because you could draw a direct composite line forward and run a whole different thought to what's going on now based on the fact of what was going on back then. We're a whole lot worse off now than we were back then. Yet, there isn't one single solitary voice that gives one hairy rat's hindquarters about, yo, maybe we should be doing the same thing here. Isn't that what news and politics is all about? If they screw up, they get buggered royally. But I do like the humor in this. I thought it was funny back then. It's still funny now because it plays right off of everything that we went through all those 5 years of hell.
No kidding.
Nicely done, Mojo.
No,
all right, Jean, we're coming to back you.
Hang on a second. I'm going to say, sing a little something. Warm up a little bit. Okay.
Warm up?
I can do it. Yeah. Warm up, go me. Come on, like, what are you doing?
You're going to sing something for us?
No, you're going to sing something for us. Only kidding. I don't know if this is absolutely
good,
singable, but this is for you, Rex.
Okay.
I want to hear the me. Come on.
Cold as Ice by Rick Six. Baby, you're as cold as ice. Whenever we're together, cold as ice, and it's tearing us apart. Cold as ice, looks like stormy weather. Cold as ice, and you're breaking my heart. You and me, we used to be on fire. Can't you see, we couldn't get any higher. Baby, you're as cold as ice. Whenever we're together, cold as ice, and it's tearing us apart. Cold as ice, looks like stormy weather. Cold as ice, and you're breaking my heart. I got chills, you had a heart of gold. Lost the thrill, I'm left out in the cold. Baby, you're cold as ice, whenever we're together. Cold as ice, and it's tearing us apart. Cold as ice, looks like stormy weather. Cold as ice, and you're breaking my heart. I heard you've been seeing other guys. Girl, it's true, I'm tired of all your lies. Baby, you're cold as ice, whenever we're together, cold as ice, and it's tearing us apart. Cold as ice, looks like stormy weather. Cold as ice, and you're breaking my heart. Don't you know I can't take it anymore? I'll just go, I'm walking out the door. Baby, you're as cold as ice, whenever we're together, cold as ice, and it's tearing us apart. Cold as ice, looks like stormy weather. Cold as ice, and you're breaking my heart. Cold as ice, whenever we're together. And boom. All right, Pam, you got the first lick at that ice.
Well, that was a great read, Rex. So I was honestly hoping that we were going to be hearing you break out singing.
It doesn't have the right tempo to meet the music.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, it is. But I really liked this, even though I didn't have as you mentioned, the right tempo to meet the music. It had a really nice lyrical quality to it, and a song-like quality with the repetitive lines. Where is it? Here. I heard you've been seeing other guys. Girl, it's true. I'm tired of all your lies. You know, because to me, that's where the poem really starts to get some depth of emotion in the whole idea. Because to me, it felt like that it was, as I said in my comment, the icy bucket of betrayal that douses the flame of love. Because, you know, it's not just about that they've turned cold or, you know, they're cold-hearted. It's that the action behind the cold-heartedness, the betrayal of seeing other guys behind his back, I thought spoke really well. So it was excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought this was good, and I was disappointed, too, because when I first saw it, I thought, maybe. But as soon as you started reading it, I'm like, not going to happen. I was hoping. Good thing you didn't waste that tune-up for the chance. You have to do the me's later again. I'm sure we'll find something. But I thought it was very well done. I did. And Pam, I'm with you. The emotions did start to pick up. You know, I heard you've been seeing other guys. Girl, it's true. I'm tired of all your lies. Maybe you're cold as ice whenever we're together. Cold as ice, and it's tearing us apart. I just think it was very well expressed from there down. And the beginning was a great lead-in to that, most definitely. But great piece, Rick Six. I much enjoyed. So thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. I got to start with that picture. Look at that icy cold cabin with her at center stage. That kind of sets the right note for the voice itself.
Yeah.
Looks like stormy weather, cold as ice, you're breaking my heart. Whenever we're together, cold as ice, and it's tearing us apart. And there was a nice, I got chills, you had a heart of gold, lost the thrill, I'm left out a cold. And the stormy weather, as a repeat refrain going through this, was a nice touch. It's on that notion of the reality of it kind of blows in a chilly voice. And that's what he brings with this, a chilly voice. Nicely done, Rick. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to put up the next one, and this is by Eric Svensson. And we're going to put that SoundCloud on. And let me just find it. Here we go. Right now.
Do egrets regret divination by default? Berlin Wall came down. Kings, castles, and dirty rascals would be no more. Graffiti prophets found other walls. Dervishes only danced with more determination. Humpty Dumpty developed a serious aversion for eggnog. Ergo, fiddle on the roof, most profound epitaph. If wishes were horses, beggars could ride. Prefer Rudyard Kipling's if scenarios. First, second, and third conditionals apply. Ergo, apt epitaph inscribed should read, sanity won the day. Divination by reason. Bullion of love's equity dependable. Can't be hacked by perestroika, detente, or any other smarty pants term. Karma chameleon listens attentively. Big old eyes roll like proud Mary. Keep on burning, rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. ego. River of dreams becomes river of demented screams. Karma chameleon, silent stenographer throughout the ages. Divination by default or reason. Knowledge is a deadly friend, where no one sets the rules. The fate of all mankind I see in the hands of fools. Twist in our sobriety. Immortal karma chameleon notes the rise and fall of human empires. Continental drift of cause and effect. Cycles of birth and death. Actions cause reactions. Proactive versus reactive. The end game is older than Genesis. Brave New World predates Exodus. Epitaph, revelation, restitution, and respect. Do egrets regret? Only those that choose to roost in the tallest trees, for they are sandblasted by the fiercest, ferocious winds. Current tallest trees west, east, north, south, at loggerheads. Good thing we're not egrets, but highly intuitive, evolved human beings who through countless rebirths have come to understand that we are all one. Ego. Post-revelation epitaph reads, respect, reason, and restitution. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, since you're laughing, you get the first dibs.
What? What? Who's laughing?
No. I heard you sniggling in the background, so bring out the egret and hit on the reason.
All right. Well, I like this. First of all, some great song references. Karma Chameleon, Proud Mary. I like the kings, the graffiti. A lot of strong imagery throughout. To me, I really like how the general theme is all about the way kingdoms fall, how walls fall, how mankind brings kingdoms down through their choices and reasoning. I remember actually being in high school in German class and watching the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. You know, obviously it wouldn't have been as cool as being there in person, but I still remember what an important moment in history that was. And you know, so I like that he opened that up by that being the second line. The divination by default, Berlin Wall comes down, king's castles and dirty rascals should be no more. What is another one? I also really liked, he got some wonderful lines in here, like can't be hacked by perestroika, dilettante or any other smarty pants term. You know, that actually, I was watching I think the Late Late Show, and they were talking about how there was a group of hackers who had shut down a power plant and caused an inconvenience, like that, a big, obviously more than just a slight inconvenience, like, you know, and they actually issued an apology on social media saying that they were sorry, they were simply doing it for the money and weren't looking to inconvenience people. And for some reason that line there made me think of that. And good things were not egrets, but highly intuitive, evolved human beings. Now that has, to me, like a touch of sarcasm, because sometimes we'd be better off not being highly intuitive, evolved human beings, because we so oftentimes really haven't come far from the first stone thrown out of anger. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, how about you?
Wow. Well, my brain is on overload. Eric does it to me all the time because he's so many places, coming from so many different directions. I always landed exactly where he wants to be, but he definitely always has so much going on. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was an awesome write, wonderful share. I love the imagery as well as the references throughout. And he's incorporated so many strong images in the poem. I thought that was wonderful. And I like that very last thought that was written on the page. When egrets feed on ticks, the buffalo obviously derives benefits. It is getting rid of the blood-sucking parasites. That's pretty strong sentence there. And a lot of truth to that. It may not look like much of anything.
Continuity of beings. One lives on off of the other one, but they both benefit.
Yep. It may not look like much at first glance, but when you stop and you really think about what's going on behind the scenes or underneath, it's important, and it's good for both. So it's a great thought. Excellent job.
Oh, absolutely. I said, there's a couple other things that this is well loaded, as always, from Eric. Graffiti prophets found other walls. That hits on Sound of Silence with prophets writing on the subway walls. Remember that piece?
Mm-hmm.
And I like the humor on that last line of that first stanza. Humpty Dumpty developed a serious aversion for eggnog. It's a nice twisted thought, man. And he opens up, Fiddler on the Roof, most profound epitaph. And that's what this write was based on, an epitaph by King Crimson. And he drops in Rudyard Kipling's If, another nice piece and thought that runs well in here, as well as the Proud Mary. The Karma Chameleon has two thoughts, I thought, with it, not to mention the Boy George reference in the song, but the thought of karma itself and how it changes based on what is going on and how things come back to bite somebody in the arse when the time is just right. Just like hits on the current tallest trees west, east, north, south at loggerheads. It's on the notice of the whole world in the moment. And I agree with Jean that last thought she wrote, when egrets feed on ticks, the buffalo obviously derives benefits. It is getting rid of the blood-sucking parasites. And, yeah, there's a whole lot of them that need to be gotten rid of. Nicely done, Eric. Thank you very much. All right. Where would you like to go next?
Well, it's funny you should ask. Betty just showed up in the room, and it's so funny because I had her piece ready to be read. So, Pam, would you like to read this one for us?
I would be happy to.
All
right. And this is So Lost Now by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Why must you go now, wandering off in this green, screaming trees mourn you, icy winds surround, my heart cascades to the floor, leaving only pain. Queens of the Stone Age, gods and goddesses of realms, treasure memories, sacred poet fades into pure, vivid starlight. His words still remain, echoes poetic. Haunting voices sing duets once again in skies. We are all gypsies wandering through our lifetimes, drifting towards blue skies, as words spill from lips until now, left in silence, heaven's melodic end poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're going to start with you.
Oh, shoot. Well, I'm not ready.
Oh, shoot.
Betty, I think you did a wonderful job with this piece. Wonderful lines throughout. I like the three-line segments. I know there's a word for that, but I don't want to rack my brain too hard right now. But kind of liked what you said here. A poem to honor Mark Lenigan, 222:22. I envision both the people here on earth mourning his loss. As the heavens are filled with his music infinitely, we will still hear his music and will remember him always. Now he and Kurt reunite in rock and roll heaven. What a wonderful thing. But I thought this was a wonderful tribute piece. I really did. I think that it, you know, she tipped her hat to him and, you know, said what she thought was on target, on the money, you know. And Betty's good for that. So great piece, hon. And thanks for sharing with us.
Well said there, Jean. Thank you. All right, Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely a wonderful. I too really liked that little addition that she had, that note about where it says, now he and Kurt reunite in rock and roll heaven. And to me, this was just a wonderful tribute. As always, she's got beautiful use of imagery, short, impactful line. And I like how she pays tribute to him by fitting in there the names of his band, like Screaming Trees and Queens of the Stone Age. I like Sacred Poet Fade into Pure Vivid Starlight. His word still remains, echoes poetic, haunting voices, sing duets. Within those lines, she pays tribute to the idea that he did sing, you know, with several different musicians, various groups, you know, and that she reminds us that, like, because I know I was mentioning earlier that he had a book of poetry that he had actually written and put out. But even before he put out that book of poetry, he was a poet, because that's what his song lyrics were. And I think he probably had, as far as emotional impact, some of the most brilliant song lyrics. So this is a wonderful tribute, right, and very well done.
Thank you very much, ma'am. And last week, Betty messaged me with this piece and a thought of doing a show for Lenigan, because he had just passed a few days beforehand. And I got to read that note from her right before I got to see the thought that Lenigan had passed as well. So I decided in a moment, fine, we'll do the contest. And I went through and dug up the variety of music from him. But she hits on a couple of notes. That last bit, the honor for Lenigan. There is a thought, back at 91, both he and Kurt Cobain got together, and they did a record of a previously unrecorded or unreleased music from Leadbelly. I haven't found that yet, but I'm dying to check that one out, because that would be something different for both these guys, since we're in the grunge angle and a bit of psychedelic, and Leadbelly hits on the blues. So that might have been a nice thought to where both were thinking of going, even back in the early 90s. And as far as the poetry, yes. And you know who actually got him to start putting out books? His friend, a couple of years beforehand, had talked to him, Anthony Bourdain. I told him to, you've got to put out a book or two on your life, your poetry, your music, whatever. And that was, I think, 2 years before the first book came out, which was in 2020. Bourdain died in 2018. So, and I think his third book is about to come out. I think it's called California, I believe. I'm not quite sure. But it is coming out, so... They are on Amazon at the moment, I believe. Nicely done, Betty. Thank you very much for the suggestion and the piece, as well as the extra piece from you we got in here as well with the SoundCloud.
Look at that. Betty's got a microphone.
All right, Jean, where should we go next?
Okay, well, Rex, I'm going to come to you with the next one. And this is a piece by Incubus called an appreciated heart.
Okay. No, I love that picture. Got to do a little dolly.
Yep.
Unappreciated Heart by Incubus 2. Hands grasping, they're pulling me down. In a lake of self-loathing, my memories drown. Thoughts torn from the body of my fractured mind. As pain, just like justice, now leave my eyes blind. Can't take it no more, can't take it no more, no more. Can't find no release, no escape through Freudian door. Father can't stand me, and our mother don't care. Don't think they notice if I'm even there. Munch with paint strokes, that is my dream. As Salvador Dali, which makes nightmares a dream. Sapphires and diamonds now shatter like glass. As I cannot hold them, but flowing too fast. Scars of my past life, like bath lines appear. Drenched in my own blood and shards of my tears. Trash can full of memories of chances wasted. Like slices of pizza, no one ever tasted. There with my joy and my last chance of hope. Screwed up like tissue, I just cannot cope. Pupils bleed darkness, engulfing all light. As my mind swims in a stacked tide, too tight. No struggle left in me, no fire, no fight. Just go with the flow and just sink out of sight. Can't take it no more, can't take it no more, no more. Going under, I'm drowning, no sight of the shore. Lungs filled with the river of man's toxic waste. Consumed by the fat cat to enjoy its taste. They told me at school my future assured, but only it seems my talent is void. They perverted my dreams and twisted the knife as they tried to control me and live out my life. Live out my life with a twist of the knife. Life no longer worth living. No taking, no giving. You want it? You got it. Release up the tenure, but don't come back crying when the demon offends it. And so, nicely done there, Incubus. All right, Pam.
Yeah, that was a great read. I really enjoyed this. I like that he attached that picture to the poem. This is wonderful, metered rhyme. Great flow to it. I like how it's about depression and it comes across at least being about depression and suicide. But it starts at that where, to me, it's all about that weight of people's expectations. Like what parents expect a child to be, what a school expects someone to be. And I'm going to skip down to the ending before going back up. Is where he says, they told me at school my future is sure, but only it seems if my talent is hoard. That's an extremely strong stanza in the whole idea of the expectations and the weight put upon somebody who has talent. But unless you're willing to sell your soul or sell, you know, hoard yourself off, your talent isn't going to do you any damn good. I also like that second stanza with the references to can't find no release, no escape through Freudian door, and the munch is the scream. Munch with paint strokes captures my screams as Salvador Dali makes nightmares of dreams. I feel like so much of this imagery goes into the idea of someone who tries to escape reality through drug use, because reality just hurts too damn much. So powerful writing, very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. All right, Jean, what do you got?
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not good at this big poem with some quick thoughts. Lucky I get through it. But I think that Incubus did a nice job with this piece. I thought there was a lot of great imagery throughout the piece. As Pam noted, you know, great rhyme and meter. But it was a very strong piece. And the ending was very well done. You know, I loved the last two stanzas. Live out my life with a twist of a knife. Life no longer worth living, no taking, no giving. You want it, you got it. The tease up for tenure. But don't come back crying when the demons offend you. Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty much putting it out there. You know, the final thoughts of the piece were strong and direct, and again, just well done. So thank you, Incubus. That was a great job there, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. That opening stanza hits on the note of free falling. Hands grasping, they're pulling me down. In a lake of self-loathing, my memories drown. The fractured mind, and now leave my eyes blind. Then can't take it no more. And that thought with the Freudian door was a nice touch, especially since you dropped the father and mother in the very next line. It's on that thoughts of Oedipus. And then he drops in the Salvador Dali note to bring in that picture as a false thought. Because you got the phone there, it's a nice touch of the almost reaching out, but it's like it's laying there because no one is answering for that call, so to speak. And there was another thing down here, stanza right here. Pupils bleed darkness and engulfing all light as my mind swims in a sack tied too tight. No struggle left in me, no fire, no fight. Just go with the flow and just sink out of sight. Well, that hits on the note of being constricted, not being allowed to breathe, and everybody taking their duly noted pound of flesh, so to speak, and the idea of just go with the flow is the easy thought of not pushing at the borders of that which you're supposed to. And then they told me in school my future is sure, but only it seems my talent is forward. They perverted my dreams and twisted the knife as they tried to control me and live out my life. Boy, that hits on a note of a whole lot of, seem to hear a lot of really talented people musically are designed into controlled attitudes as to what they can put out musically, what they're allowed to do, what they have to do, and they never have real control because it's ceded to somebody else as almost an afterthought as, oh, well, you're too dangerous to do this by yourself and you don't have enough knowledge, so we'll do it for you. You just go ahead and sing. Nicely done there, Elizabeth. Thank you very much.
Nice. All right.
We're back to you, Gene.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read the next one because that's what has to happen next.
Checking the rex.com? What the hell is that?
I beg your pardon?
Well, last week during the show, Jeremy mentioned that we need a website that checks Rex. So, you know, since he brought it up again this week, I was just suggesting that maybe that might be a good idea for, you know, a website, www.checktherex.com.
Well, haven't you heard? I mean, Facebook had to admit in federal court that their fact checkers don't actually fact check. They're just opinion pieces that we use as fact checkers. What?
Absolutely. Well, honestly, I'm sure that's what most of those
when you get
a
blue check mark fact check, it's full of shit because it means nothing.
Well, yeah,
oh,
considering that
to think they use that to ban you off their site. Yeah, you're full of bullshit and disinformation. You're gone. Say bye-bye. And
yeah,
now they're bitching about being told, you're not allowed to be in Russia now, Facebook. Well, that's interference with the First Amendment rights. Oh, now you're babbling up with First Amendment rights after all the people, millions of people you've deleted? Ha, shoes on the bloody other foot. I think it's funny as hell.
Right. Well, checkingtherex.com would actually be ran by me and Jeremy. So it would be mine and Jeremy's opinions.
God, I'm in deep shit. Oh. All right, Gene. Where are we going now?
Well, the next piece I put up is called Lemming's Leap by Patrick Childs. And here we go. The world revolves, my stomach turns. Talking monkeys evolve, refusing to learn. Murdering the earth, raping distant lands, reasons given birth to the insanity of man. In the footsteps of dinosaurs, our existence of no distinction. As lemmings mass leap of faith, mankind runs to its extinction. Cold, dark, concrete jungle, siren walls in the night. The ground begins to rumble, lone white dove takes flight. Brother kills his brother, clans clash against clan, indifferent to no other than the vanity of man. Only the strongest survive, those with the wealth rule. Our mother's clinging to life, her children are but fools. Time is becoming short, the monkeys can't understand. When worth is mission abort, this is stupidity of man. In the footsteps of dinosaurs, our existence of no distinction. As lemmings mass leap of faith, mankind runs to its extinction. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. Lemming up.
This is just great. I really enjoy, first of all, the title, Lemming's Leap. And to me, you know, it always, it reminds me of that saying, you know, that don't follow the masses, the M is silent. And, you know, I really like how this is about those people who don't think for themselves. They follow the crowd. It's about the stupidity of the masses, about mm-hmm. the people that don't learn from history. You know, I really like cold, dark, concrete jungle, sirens wail in the night, the ground begins to rumble, lone white dove takes flight. And the reason I like the word mentions the lone white dove is because it offers up as that symbolism of the Holy Spirit or the symbolism of peace, and almost, you know, like as if there's a faint glimmer of hope. But you see the ugliness, and brother kills his brother, clans clash against clan, indifferent to one another. This is the vanity of man. I think there's various quotes throughout history that have touched on the whole idea that true evil or true darkness is the idea of being indifferent. And that's where we fall apart. It's you know, that not just that there are evil people in this world, it's that there are people who choose to be indifferent to greed, to hate, to violence. So just a powerful write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, you got to read that. You did a great job. What about you?
I thought this was a great piece. First of all, it was a wonderful read because, you know, his rhyme was spot on. So that was nice. But really, you know, the thoughts going throughout are not, you know, cutesy cutesy, you know. It's not all fun and games and all that. I mean, he really puts a point across there. And the only thing I could come up with when I finished reading it, not the only thing, but, you know, don't just be a follower. You know, go your own way, stand tall. You know, and I thought his thoughts were very well expressed throughout this piece. And I think the rhyme didn't lessen the message. I think that it kind of made it a little more palatable for people to hear and to listen and to think about it, you know. So very well done. Definitely.
Excellent.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Jean and Pam. Yes, it's kind of, I know it's brought forward, but it's kind of worked its way, the thought that was coming out of the 60s, the mid to late 60s into the 70s of that which was going on back then, although now we're 50 years on and we're still talking the same language, yet nothing much has changed because as much as evolved as we are, we refuse to evolve on a more developed level morally when it comes to certain things, and war being one of them. That kind of hits. That's what hits in here, especially with the thought, in the footsteps of dinosaurs, our existence of no distinction, as lemmings nastily but faith, mankind runs to his extinction. And it kind of brings you back to a thought I had a day or two ago with the idea that as long as we continue to vote in those people to represent us, and then we don't hold their feet to the fire in actually representing us, meanwhile, we just go back to sleep after the election, then we are as guilty as they are because we're not pressing the issues. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm working my way down this list. And the next one I'm going to put up is called Cannon Fodder by Eric Swenson. And I have an audio for that as well. Yeah, lots of audio tonight. I like it. Cannon fodder. Here we go.
Cannon fodder weren't around when Delville trees screamed, mess of broken stumpy tree roots and massive shell holes end result. The Delville Cemetery contains 5,493 burials. To task, no time for afterglow bars, get thee out of hope's nunnery. And from the northwards down to the valley, in a world of hurting, I'm moving on, out from the lighthouse, out on the ocean, can't climb the mountain so very tall. Abacus fracas, cerebral calculus freezes up wars and rumors of war. Shadow of the season is upon us. Plague, pestilence and plight, pneumatic pestle, pummels mortar men, mice and microbes. Said Lord, please give me what I need. He said there's pain and misery. Thought I dreamt the Berlin Wall came down. Imagined aggressive red bear took a chill pill. Nice, neat, shaggy dog map divided Europe. NATO would secure. United Nations diligent Alsatian watchdog. Peace and prosperity procured. World Health Organization loyal to Hippocratic Oath. End of Cold War promised balmy days of bliss. Weren't around when Delville Wood screamed. Weren't around when World War II screamed louder. But we're all around now, aren't we? And from the northwards down to the valley, in a world of hurting, we must muster courage. Out from the lighthouse, out on the ocean, we must climb Armageddon Mountain, so much taller. Shadow of war's purple season is upon us. Illogical reason jams clear thinking. Must hold on. Anti-nuclear devices scramble synapses. What was the last thing that flew out of Pandora's box? Pray do tell. To task, no time for afterglow bask. Brother sun, sister moon, get thee back into hope's nunnery. End poem.
Wonderful read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what you think?
Well, as always, with Eric's writing and reads, I'm very much impressed. I didn't quite have a chance to look up what Delville Wood Tree is, but I do like the fact, that I'm assuming it's some battleground, but I'll have to look that up to know for sure. I do like the way that he fit that in and made it work with the band name, The Screaming Trees. Abacus, Fracas, Cerebral Calculus, Freezes Up, Wars and Rumors of Wars, Shadow of Season is upon us. And to me, I like that stanza because it speaks on the whole idea that, the science of mathematics goes out the windows when war and rumors of war become a shadow upon us. And I really am going to have to look up Delville Wood.
Delville Wood was from the First World War, 1916, the Battle of the Somme.
It used
to be a very heavily wooded arena of birch and poplar trees. But as you can see, the picture is from World War One. It's a picture of the field itself. There were heavy casualties from the British in the summer of that year, and then the South Africans came up and held the line for about 18 days, and they suffered the same fate, heavy casualties. The Germans just bombarded the tar out of everybody during those couple of months in the summer of 16.
Right. Okay, that makes sense, and it adds an extra layer of depth to the poem itself, and the whole idea is the idea that the brutality of mankind brings nature down around him, and nature pays the consequences. NATO would secure United Nations diligent allocation watchdog, peace and prosperity procured, World Health Organization loyal to Hippocratic oath. I like how he puts in here the whole idea of that thought of the dreams that of possibility. If only people stood for the oaths they took, as always, he's got great strong imagery and metaphors, and I like how he brings us at the end with a note of hope, a note of the idea that if brother and sister moon, it can only get us back to where we had started, to healing under the light of hope. I think wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, how about you? But you got to unmute first.
But yes, exactly. I was going to say, darn, and I had all this stuff, I just muted out, like, yes. Anyway, I didn't really say that much. But I think this was a great, powerful write by Eric. And I think that, I know Pam started the NATO Wood Secure line up there. And definitely, that just rolled right down. But weren't around when Delva Wood screamed, weren't around when World War II screamed louder, but we're all around now, aren't we? Definitely, an acknowledgement of current events in my head. That's what I see. And a great take on that chosen prompt. I think that, Eric just did a wonderful job here. And he's always so, he's a clever fella. He is. And I think it was great. So that's where I go. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, Eric took a shadow of the season and gave it his own nice little bit. And I thought the title was perfect, too, Cannon Fodder. How best do we reduce the world's population? And by making sure we have another world war. Yeah, let's kill them all. The idea of the thought they brought in with the picture, the First World War, then walked himself through with the down to where you hit, Jane, with the Second World War, and the implication is that he's thinking that we might be walking clear into World War III, which is what everybody's yammering about. We may very well walk that way, which this time around could, because he hits on that notion, what was the last thing that flew out of Pandora's box? The question, pray do tell, Pandora's box opener this time around is not a pleasant thought to actually even indulge in. And he bookended the thought with that second stanza, get thee out of folks' nunnery, in the first to start off, and then he finished off with brother, son, sister, moon, get thee back into hope's nunnery. Now that thought of let's put Pandora's box away for good, and then get us into a proper thought of how we treat each other as humans. Nicely done, Eric. Thank you. All right, where do we go next?
We go be well. Let's see now. This is a nice by Betty Page called Crimson Hearts. I don't want to lose track of it. So, and I have an audio for this one. So this is going to be a treat. Here we go. Crimson hearts lost along the shore. Crimson hearts bleeding the fade. Float from life's charade. Melancholy sweet, mesmerized by hanging trees. Melodically sing. Dripping pain just screams. Echoes in my mind haunt me. Forever renowned. Memories on reels. Tape spin round as waves crashing. Pounds within my heart. Pure talent now fades. Into starlight shines vivid. Across deep blue skies. Spilling crimson ink. Tattoos hearts with poetry. Jet black pretty art. Tangled just dangles. Shimmering for all to see. To feel every word. Intoxicating. Corrupting what's been said to be our so-called normal. Causing such a scene, instruments of pure discord, smash, destroy, control. Right down to your core, no hesitation, freedom. Just be your true self. Mad season, swirl swift. Rebellious, wild, so carefree. Screaming trees we be. Swaying revelry, seductive debauchery. Mischievous highs, drifting, wandering, fading dark in moonlit skies. Rock and roll heaven, jamming infinite, poetry living within, through generations, end poem. Mark Lanegan lives on through his kindness and his music infinitely.
Wonderful read, Betty. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. And it's nice to hear you read for a change. Gives us something to look forward to in future. You got to do this some more. All right, Betty.
Well, I have to agree with you. I was actually thinking the same thing as listening, is that we need to hear more recordings from Betty. I mean, I love reading her poetry. I have no, you know, but to hear her voice, it just really adds to the experience. I thought, again, this is a wonderful tribute. What I like is that this pays tribute not only to his talent, but to him as a person, to somebody who walked outside of the box, who didn't, you know, fit into other people's idea of what he should be or who he should be. You know, I like that she read her AN where she said, Mark Lanegan lives on through his kindness and his music. And that is so true, because it's not only, you know, the idea that his lyrics, his music touched people's hearts, but the idea that the choices he made and the things he did as a person. I really like Tangle Just Dangle, shimmering for all to see, to feel every word, intoxicating, corrupting what's been said to be our so-called normal. You know, causing such a scene, instruments of pure discord, smash, destroy, control. I like instruments of pure discord because it touches to me on the idea of his voice and how truly unique it was. And, you know, how, you know, I just really thought this was wonderful and very well done.
Yeah, how was that they described his voice? They said it was as rough as 3-day-old deer stubble and as smooth as moccasin leather.
That's a perfect description.
All right, Gene, how about you? What do you think? Are you mutating?
Yeah, I was. I put those darn audios on, and I'm afraid I'm going to make a bunch of noise, so I automatically mute, and then I forget. Because, you know, I'm that girl. But
yes, we're not getting old.
No, I'm not getting old. I'm just nuts. God. You have to remind me of that too, Rex.
I can hear the coal truck backing up right now.
I'll be right on your house. That way you have to clean for days and days.
You're burying the ass deep in it, and then you're going to set fire to it.
No, I wouldn't do that. That would be terrible. But I definitely want to make it a mess. Betty, I love this. I think this was a really wonderful piece. I think that you really, again, another nod, a wonderful nod, and a tip of the hat and a tribute piece. And I think that, you did it in a wonderful and respectful way. I liked it a lot. I really did. And I love that Mark Lanegan lives on through his kindness and his music, you know, infinitely. So, I mean, I think that's a great, great ending for this piece, actually. So not just an author's note, you know, it's just the way you feel. And I think everybody can feel that. And I think that's pretty awesome. So wonderful job, Betty. And yeah, I think we need more of your SoundClouds too. Actually, I think we just need to get you to dial the darn phone, you know. But that's okay. Not today. We'll get you, though. One of these days, we're going to convince you. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Okay. Thanks, Betty.
Yes, another great piece there, Betty. Thank you very much. But there's something here that I really like. Mad Season, Swirl Swift, Rebellious Wild, So Carefree, Screaming Trees, We Be. There's an implication there of all those who offer up music or ink something that walks along those lines. Then the last three stanzas work the same well. Fading dark and moonlit skies, rock and roll heavens, jamming infinite, poetry living within through generations. There's that nice transference of looking forward with that, which is still living and breathing in the moment, but we'll have years and decades to still live and breathe going forward. Nice and done, Betty. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Hey, this next one is mine. All mine. This is up there for me. Yes. So this piece is called "The Trees Are Screaming" by Cool Males. Don't be jealous, Pam. The trees are screaming. The trees are screaming. Mark Lanegan is gone. We really lost him. End poem.
Great read, Jean. And I see you. You made sure you got the shorty, didn't you?
I did.
Thank you very much, Jean. All right, Pam, what you got?
Well, I can tell you that as soon as I saw this poem 4 hours ago, my first thought was, I know who
Jean is going to give this to. She's going to read.
She's going to read it herself.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, an excellent three-line poem. I like, you know, it's with a haiku or a three, like, I call them three-line poems, but not sure if it's technically a haiku, but... you know, it's hard to separate any one part, but mm-hmm. I will say that I liked that he had a play on words with the screaming trees, and then to me the end line really spoke about how oftentimes the disbelief is a part of the process of grief, you know, and then that acceptance is part of the, what do they call it, the five stages or the seven stages of grief. Like, I feel like this poem is about that stage of grief, of acceptance. And so, just excellent write and very well done. And Gene, I hope you got yourself a drink of water because I can imagine that.
I did. My throat. It was hard. It was hard. Smart ass.
There it is. Smart ass. Nice. Since you got to read it, how about you?
I thought it was very well done. I mean, it was a great 5-7-5, and it was very straight and to the point. And as Pam said, it was a great play on words for the screaming trees, you know, with the trees are screaming. And it's sad. It's very sad because, you know, none of us want to lose anybody in our lives, especially people we admire or people that bring us joy in one form or another. And, you know, what brings more joy to most of us than music itself? And, yeah, absolutely. Just a great piece. And, very well done, Cool Mouse. And thanks for sharing with us, for real. As all the words are.
And I got one little additional thing to add to that, since you guys hit everything that could be hit. I like the twisted thought, the trees are screaming, we really lost them. There is that note of if a tree falls in the woods, do we hear the sound? And this kind of hits on that note of yes, because the screaming trees are still here, so to speak.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Cool. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. I found that one and got all happy. Gosh.
You got all happy?
Okay. I did because I found that nice little short one for me. I said, yes, yes, yes. Pam, I have one for you because I have to save the next one for Rex. Wait, we have another caller. No way. Okay, hang on 1 second. Hello, 305. Who is calling, please?
Hello.
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 Who's calling, please?
My name is Alex.
Hi, Alex. Are you on All Poetry?
Just calling in because I saw your website and that you were live, and I have a poem to share.
You're going to have to hang on because we have a theme tonight, and we're working through those poems.
I've just written one about the conflict in Ukraine right now with Russia attacking them.
I hear you. But you're not on All Poetry, right? I'm going to have to ask you to email me a hard copy. My email address is Phil, FILLMYEYES, @ AOL.com. If you send me a copy, I'll check it out, and I'll bring you back on to read it as soon as we get an open moment. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, Pam, I still have this piece for you. So here we go. This is by Chris Bond.
All right. This is Hanging Tree by Chris Bond, and it goes like this. We never knew its age. To our uneducated eyes, it had always looked the same, wholesome in summer, leaves offering us shade, nude in winter, sinewy branches, bleak as those long days. We knew it was called the Hanging Tree, the origins of the name buried in a dark history, hanged decaying highwaymen for all to see, a warning from the town for any planning villainy or felony. We only knew the here and now, meeting place for dates, scenic photo silhouette as another sun sets, another day, a new page, a song by queens of the Stone Age. I wonder what inspired it. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And he did take the hanging tree prompt. Nicely done, Chris. This walks back in a different time and era. Go back to England back in the I guess, 1700s, this would be, for the fault with the highwayman, and a warning from the town for any planning, villainy, or felony. That was considered a high crime back in the day of, highwaymen, they were the ones that robbed the carriages and coaches that went from city to city, traveled, whatever. And that was a big thing back in the day, and they hung people, literally. So I just thought with this and that tree itself and how it's represented, Olson in summer, leaves offering a shade, nude in winter, sinewy branches bleak as those long days. And then that thought in the second one, the origins of the name buried in a dark history. And then the offering in that last one, we only knew the here and now, meeting places with dates, scenic photo silhouette as another sunset, another day, a new page, offering up the changing of times, so to speak. You got to read that, Pam. What do you think?
Yeah, this is definitely a great write. First of all, I really enjoy that he ended with the question. I wonder what inspired it. Now, reading the lyrics of that song, to me, it felt like a Romeo and Juliet type suicide pact. But there is dark history behind the hanging trees. You know, not just the hanging of villains, but lynch mobs, you know, would often hang from trees. So there is that kind of dark history. And what I like about this is it focuses in on the tree and the time period of youth. To me, it spoke on the innocence of youth and oftentimes the refusal to seek answers to a dark history, but rather just being wrapped up in enjoying the pleasures of the moment. It makes me think about how oftentimes, young people will know, like, you know, that's the haunted house, that's, you know, the person who was wanted for, suspected for murder. They'll know all the stories, there'll be a town that has a hanging tree, and they'll know it's the hanging tree, but it doesn't matter that it was. It doesn't matter what the dark history was. What matters is that you can carve your girlfriend or boyfriend's initials in that tree. I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Lanegan lived in a town where there was a hanging tree and that's where the idea of the song came from. But I have to say, I think this is probably one of my absolute favorites by Chris. I think he did an excellent job with this, and it was very well done.
Well said. Thank you. And Jean, are you back?
Did I leave? I'm sorry.
Well, no, I figured you would check us up now, so I figured we'd go first and give you the minute or two to take care of the back end.
No, actually he dropped. I guess he didn't want to wait.
Oh.
I don't know. But I try. I was just trying not to take up too much airtime. Let's see now. I thought that Chris did a great job with this. I really did. I thought it was nicely penned and a great take on the prompt. And I thought he expressed it very well. And, I mean, Chris's work is always nice. It's not overdone. It's not too wordy. He says just enough to get his point across and to make himself heard. And I think that this is no less than that. Just a great job, and I'm glad he shared it with us. I thought it was a great addition to the show. Great take on that prompt, for real. So thanks, Chris. I thought that was him at first when I went to drop that link. But damn, he's on time. So much for that. Okay. Well, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 poems left. So, Rex, I'm going to toss you the next one because it says the word parody. So, me, 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 me. Come on, you can do it.
Me, me? Me, 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 me. Oh, no,
me, me,
I'm
me,
not
me.
Singing. I will
not
read
saying.
No, I don't
but
know
I'm
the tune. I don't know the tune or the rhythm. But I can read it. Long Way
One
Down
Way Street
again.
By One Way
Street. A parody of One Way Street by Mark Lanegan by Diane D. Yeah, I asked Diane earlier. Apparently she's needing to debug her SoundCloud. I said, let me know if you get rid of the little critters. The bells and the lights won't stop from calling to me in the hushed ebony night. Not where I want to be. Spin, I watch them roll, high on that bandit stealing arm. Lord, can you stop me now? I'm quitting one last time. It's a synthetic high. It's a long way down. I just can't stop. Can't stop the rush while flying, because I'm hooked on chimes. Come sailing with me. I pull that arm down daily. I can't seem to stop. But every day I try, that thing calls me by my name. It has a bonus spin. You keep me spinning round. Oh, the electronic eye. Regardless, there's time that I invest, and I can't stop. Can't stop myself. It's like lying. Insanity's a pause. You just can't stop. For that calculated win, you just can't stop. Spin, then roll. I am the bandit stealing arm. Lord, can you stop me now? I'm quitting one last time. It's a synthetic eye. It's a long way down. It's a long way without flying. Oh, the electronic eye. It's just a long way down. And boom. All right, Pam, what you got?
Again, disappointed. Didn't get to hear singing. But other than that,
I can't hold every bloody tune in my head.
Well, that's why you're supposed to practice. Gee, yeah, why not?
This was a late entry.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
excuses, excuses.
God.
All right, well, great read there, Rex. I really like this. Yeah, I remember one time years ago I went to a casino, and so immediately, you know, this makes me think of that addiction to gambling. And if you go into a casino and you watch people pull those levers and watch the spin numbers spin over and over again, they look like zombies. You know, they look like they're in a trance. You know, as far as the meter goes, this is a spot on parody. I really like the thing calls me by my name. It has a bonus spin to keep me spinning around on the electronic high. And, you know, but the thing is that addiction, that electronic high, that it isn't just like you don't have to go anymore to a casino. You can get it like right at home. There's games that people, you get the game for free, but then all the extra bonus stuff you have to pay for. And I really like High on the Bandit Stealing Arm. Lord, can you please stop me now? I'm quitting one last time. You know, and I like how that this is specifically about gambling addiction, but I'm quitting one last time. It is very relatable to any type of addiction. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. All right, Eugene, how about you?
Eugene's not here. I don't know why you thought he was. He's been quiet all night. I thought this was a nicely penned piece by Diane. You know, I'm not familiar with the original song, so I'd be lying if I thought it was a great take on that prompt. Although I did enjoy her write standalone, and I thought it was great imagery throughout, and I thought it was really well done. Nice job, Diane. Thanks for sharing.
Yes, it does hit on that notion of addiction overall, but especially this one for gambling. And this would work so well with that old Twilight Zone episode where the guy goes so nuts with the gambling. He wasn't a gambler to start with, but he just had to. He won some money, just had to give it back. He kept giving it back, and he wanted more. And eventually he ended out the window of his hotel room, laying on the ground below, because it just took everything from him. The implication being that kind of addiction is a long way down, and you fall flat and hard. Nicely done, Diane. Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Where are we going now?
Well, okay. I was going to, well, I just read Pam's note on her piece. So, because of that, Pam, I'm going to have you read this one by Garden Delights, and I'm going to work on yours.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a good plan. All right. And this is The Hounds of Hell by Garden Delights, and it goes like this. When night curtain falls, plummeting to stage floorboards, evening stars never arrive to illuminate inky darkness. Fields of rational thoughts wither, crops of common sense fail, weapons are readied, doors kept locked. Suspicion roams like a hungry lion, trust's head and legs are withdrawn into its impervious shell. Children were silenced by palpable fear radiating from adults. Grown-ups strain to hear sounds of, well, of what? They weren't quite sure. The hounds of hell, an odd and godly screech, a cacophonous charge of ghoulish aggression. Wait there. Come the rumble of a thousand mammoth train engines. Or was it scores of raging dragons? Man of the house threw open his door to see what he could see. Paralysis, fear, a mirror reflecting himself. His eyes, his posture, both revealed far too much of his damaged inner self. Panicky, he started seeking an escape. Strange how the most shameless sinners, unforgiven, cannot forgive. Cannot face themselves. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Garden took Shadow of the Season as the prompt, and I like this. This was hits on that notion of facing the ugliness of that which is self and the fear that comes in, not only that is released because you can't face that, but also the fear that comes when you actually do face that. It is monumental in its idea of that which you see reflecting back in the mirror once you take a good look at yourself. I like that thought. What about you, since you got to read it?
Yeah, I really like this. I'm glad Garden Delights was inspired to write. I like the way she shapes her stanzas and makes them flow to grab your attention. You know, and I like that there's the questions in there. Really, like it goes like, what is it? Is it the hounds of hell, an ungodly screech, and wait there? And there's a pause created before we come to the point of realizing that this is a man looking at himself, looking at his own demons, looking at the fact that, you know, he cannot face himself. He cannot face what he has become. And I also really like the imagery in the beginning stanza, when night's curtain falls, plummeting to stage floorboards, evening stars never rise to illuminate inky darkness. A wonderful imagery that brings in the nighttime, but also the fact that she says the stage floorboards, I think is a wonderful way to draw in that this was inspired by a song. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this was very well expressed. You look, okay, yeah, I'm here. Wonderfully expressed piece for sure, and I thought it was a great take on that chosen prompt. Very well expressed and great imagery. Definitely. So I think it was an awesome piece, and I want to thank you, Garden Delights, for sharing with us. That was nice. For real, for real.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So where would you like to go next?
Well, rumor has it that this one might be good for your voice. So here we go. We're going to try a third time. See if you can sing. I know. But this is one by Pam Ray. And it's called I Call You Character.
I Call You Caretaker from Emery. My hope is dead, thoughts decay, the mocker clean, secret from the blue. The bets are nailed, blinded by thirst, hear my heart wail, I'm heading to you, the claws of my Gorgon mother, lost some very bowels of violent lesions. I call you caretaker, the bringer of pain. Rabbit cries, the blood is seeping, and the swaying cord as the food for the feasting. My hope is dead, gravel prayers, and someday moon, someday I'll light you. The blaming game gathers around, controls the wheat, and parades through scat towns of crossed wires. Last bows, buried suns, death of all reason. I'm sprawling, keeper, keeper, keeper of pain. Rabbit cries, highways appealing, and the odds of the game are not in my favor. Last bows, buried suns, death of all reason. I'm sprawling, keen, keeper, keeper of pain. Rabbit cries, the blood is seeping, and the swaying cord has food for the feasting. Now bury me in sands of treason. I'm pleading Gorgon, Gorgon, Gorgon of rain, pointing blame while the devil's dealing, and the odds of the game are not in my favor. End poem. And that was, what was that, Faith No More. All right, Gene, what you got?
I think it was a very well-written piece. And I don't know why you didn't know that tune either, Rex. I'm taking notes here. This person knows a lot of them. Silly. Pam, I think you did an excellent job with this. Very well stated and done throughout. Great imagery. Just a wonderful piece. And again, you know, I don't know the original, but I definitely can appreciate this for that standalone quality it has. great job. Great job. It's
thank you.
I don't know. It's just wonderful. You're welcome. Absolutely.
Thank you, Gene. My hope is dead, thoughts decay, the mocker croons, secrets from the blue. Lost in that one, the bets are nailed, blinded by thirst. There is a kind of a thought to death to the planet. Gorgon Mother, I like that one. One who reeks and tears and rends. And then I call you caretaker, the bringer of pain, rabbit cries. Well, you need a little silence of the lambs in that one. gravel prayers and someday moon, someday I'll light you. The blaming game gathers around, controls the wheat, and parades through scat towns across wires. Scat towns, towns of shit, and also the thought with cross wires, shit brains or shit forebrains.
Uh-huh.
And still again, the rabbit cries. Last bows, buried sons. Does hit me with a sort of a dying planet or on the verge of dying and what's being done to it.
I like that thought. I like that thought. I just find it ironic and funny that, and though I do think you actually did an amazing read of that, and I'm glad it was read in your voice, but it's so ironic that I write a song parody once in a blue moon, and it happens to be for the show that you're not singing.
Well, I don't know everybody, and I don't know all the music and the like I said, the background tunes, and now even some of the ones I've done, I screwed up the background with it because I just didn't hit it right.
You do have an amazing reading, singing voice, but I did have to say, I had to agree that when I heard you start reading this, that it did work really well in your voice. And yeah, I wasn't sure which song I was going to write to, but I came across this one, which was actually by a group called Soul Savers that Mark Lanegan provided the vocals for, along with Mike Patton, who is the lead singer of Faith No More. But, yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, Jean, I think we got time for one more.
Well, here's the deal. We have two
yes.
more.
Okay.
If we can do it, I think we can do it.
One All right,
let's
do it.
Okay, I'm going to do the longer one first. So here we go. And this one is by Passion's Promise. And it's called Almost Lost You There. I have nearly lost you, girl, between the lines of right and wrong. Wheels have gone a whirl, and it has brought on a wretched song. My old sin has taken me by control. Diamonds in a snake glass, I am lost. It almost took away my precious soul, and baby, you could have been the cost. I was the driver, you the rider. Baby, I could have lost you there. But smoke dances higher, and at moment, no care. It's got me full, ring baby, high. It's alive, live or die. But the damn truth of it all, you were the fall. I could have lost you there. Like diamonds in a snake glass, I could have lost you there. I could have lost you there. I had no worry or care until I almost lost you there. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful emotive write on... you know, and a great take on her chosen song, Nearly Lost You. A great rhyme and flow. I like My Old Sin Has Taken Me By Control, Diamonds in a Snake Glass, I Am Lost. Diamonds in a Snake Glass. I like how that touches on two different types of addiction, alcoholism, the drinking, but also gambling. And to me, I really thought this spoke really strongly of the whole idea of how someone comes to the realization that they've almost lost the love of a good partner due to the love of that drink, due to the love of that high. I really like the ending lines of, I had no worry or care until I almost lost you there. So powerful and emotive write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I have to kind of agree with you there, Pam. It sounds like an addiction or something to be overcome, just a reason for someone, you know, to have fear of, because those kind of things can really come between a couple and I think it's very well written and nicely done. And I thought it was a great take on that chosen prompt. So thanks, Passion.
I did too. I thought that diamonds in a snake glass, not only hitting on the sort of dual addiction, but snake eyes, I got out of that. And when you get snake eyes, yeah, everything just, you lose it all in the moment, which was, I thought, a nice touch, especially with the next line and that next stanza. I was the driver, you the rider. So it's hits on that notion of you were just along for the ride and I almost blew it all. I like that. All right, Jean, what we got for the next
one? Okay, here's our last one. And this is by I Love Poems, Sawa. And she sent us a SoundCloud, so let me hit that button. Here we go.
I love poems. I'm aware of who I am. Je suis consciente de qui je suis. Now that I'm healing from years of abuse, myself, my confidence, my strength, find me. I'm aware of who I am. I stand wherever you do not stand. I will never let your shadow knock my door. I washed away your angry face from my earth, your lies from my blue sea. My thoughts will hardly escape me. I will lay my head on a bed of roses, my finest hours, with no fear. The sigh of joy. Maintenant que je me guéris.
Okay.
Great read, Sawa. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is really appreciated. And she took Bed of Roses as a prompt there. Pam, what you think?
That was absolutely a beautiful read. And as always, this is a wonderful brevity. I like how it's about someone finding themselves, finding their confidence and their strength and their courage, about walking away from an abusive relationship and not only healing, but healing to the point of that once again you can breathe that sigh of joy. So a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely.
And Phil?
Well, I thought that this was really well written. And, you know, as Pam pointed out, and as we've all said, now that I'm healing from years of abuse, myself, my confidence, my strength find me. I'm aware of who I am. I stand wherever you do not stand, and I will never let your shadow knock my door. I just think it was very well done, and spoken like a true survivor. You know, someone who stands up and says, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. Yeah, good for her. I know, excellent sound clip. So thanks, Bella.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. It was a great talk, a great piece on that thought of a bed of roses, especially since she laid it in there. I will lay my head on the bed of roses at my finest hours, no fear, with a sign of joy. And there's an awakening, an understanding of self and what is as opposed to what was. Nicely done, Salwa. Thank you very much. Great, Joshi. Thank you very much, Pam, for coming on board to help us read. And we got them all. Nicely done. Next week we're doing saxophone, so pick out your favorite saxophone pieces and let's see what you got to bring to the table. And in 13 minutes, I'll make that 28 minutes, join Victoria as she brings you the hearts of LNP.
Yeah, we hope. I'm not sure if tomorrow or tonight is on the agenda, but we're going to see. So, and if it is, I hope everyone enjoys the show. Rex, great show, great topic. Pam, it was great hanging with you tonight. As always, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad we cleared your board. Now you can start fresh next week. See you.
Absolutely. It'd be fun getting into nothing but sax pieces.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I know. That is a short line of them. Anyway, great show, Rex. I'm gonna
absolutely,
sign off
yes. Thank
now.
You.
Okay, you all have right. A great night.
Good night to everybody.
Night.